You're about to listen to a message by Pastor Chris. Be blessed.
One thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
Praise God. So, we're being very well positioned. Anyway, mind management. You ready? Okay. Romans chapter number 12. Can you read verses 1 and 2? 1, 2, go. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual act of worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that, and perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the renewing of your mind will help you transform your life. Question, do I want to transform my life? Do I want to change my life to a better quality of life? Because the only way I can help other people is if I can help them get better, if I help me get better. If I get better, I can help you get better. I need to have a knowledge of God's word that I can impart to someone else and help that person get better. But that knowledge can only be knowledge if it works for me. Right? Good. He says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'm talking about mind management. If God says to you that you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind, he's given you the responsibility. He's telling you that you can make it happen. He's instructing you to do it because he's put the ability within you to do it. So you can actually change your life from glory to glory. He says, by the renewing of your mind. So he's saying to you, you can manage your mind. You can manage your mind. You can manage your mind. Click, 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 click. Manage your mind. See, you can manage your mind. If you don't manage your mind, then it's going to keep giving to you what it's already got. Where you are today is a function of your mind. You are the expression. Of all that's in your mind. The workings of your mind. That's who you are. Your personality is the expression of your mind. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Your life, how you live, what you do, the character of your words, the totality of your personality. The expression of your mind. Expression of your mind. This is your mind at work. And God has told you that you can manage your mind. That means you can handle your mind. You can change your mind. You can do something to your mind. And what you do to your mind will show up in its character. It will show up in what happens. Why are you the way you are? And what more would you want to add to your life? What would you like to take out of your life? In a meeting like this, there are things you'd like to add to your life. There are things you'd like to take out of your life. But it's great that you know it's possible in the first place. Hallelujah. It's possible. Say it's possible. Okay. So managing your mind is the primary principle for increasing your value and multiplying your success and upgrading your state. Managing your mind is the primary principle for increasing your value and multiplying your success. Sometimes you say, I've tried hard about this. I've prayed about this. I've done this and I've done that and I've done that. And I haven't had much success with it. What more can I do? Well, I'm saying to you, let's begin with mind management. Can we manage your mind? Can we get into your mind and see how it works? And see what files need to be deleted? And what files need to be downloaded? And installed, right? So what changes can we make in the structure of your thinking? All right. So, you see, you can actually make your life happier and more fulfilling. In fact, much more fulfilling. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he goes in verse 8, finally, brethren. Oh, this is not an addendum. You see, it's not an addendum. He's going to tell us something that's so important in connection with all he's been talking about. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things, watch this now, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. It says, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, he didn't just tell us to renew our minds without telling us what to think about. He told us to change the fires in our mind. And then he told us what fires to download. Agreed? So he told us what to think about. Imagine if we had this verse as a scripture that controls our minds. What kind of life would you live? Look at it again. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, true, true. How do you test truth? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, oh boy, whatsoever things are of good report. How many things have you listened to and they were not of good report and you kept thinking about them? They were not true. They were not honest. They were not pure. They were not of good report. Yet, you centered your mind on them. And you wonder why you're unhappy. An unhappy pastor produces unhappy people. Unhappy congregation. I don't keep my mind on nasty things. I only think deeply on God's word. I don't like to think deeply about anything except when I'm meditating on God's word. I don't have time to meditate on other things, especially all those things that don't qualify here. Something that makes you unhappy and you go, you ever found yourself tossing this way and that way on your bed? And then every side you turn, you see the same picture. Why do you let yourself worry? Live free. Free of these conflicts. Free. Free. Free yourself. Free your mind. Look at what he says. He's telling us what to think about. Why have you been thinking of something else? Let's go again. Whatsoever things, says finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. This thing you're thinking about, is it true? That actually is not true. Why are you thinking about it? What's your problem? Why are you thinking about it? Why don't you let it go? He says somebody told you something. It's not true. Let it go. Whatsoever things are honest. Was that honest? No. You say it wasn't honest. But you're still thinking about it. Let it go. No, but you want to hold it. So it'll be a connection to unhappiness. Whatsoever things are just. How just is it? If it's not, let it go. Whatsoever things are pure. If it's not pure, why keep it? Let it go. Whatsoever things are lovely. I like that one. Lovely. Is this lovely? If it's not lovely, why do you dwell on it? And you wonder why you're looking older. Yeah. Wrong thoughts change your face. It's true. It's true. It can change the slant of your eyes and then your nose, your mouth. Yes, this is very serious. Unhappy people have something, the reconstruction of their facial muscles. This is scientific. There's a reconstruction of their facial muscles. And then they start looking different from what they would have looked had they been happier. I have you right where I want you.
Stay tuned. Pastor Chris will be right back.
So he says, whatsoever things are of good report. Is it a good report? If it's not a good report, why are you having it? The people who sit, they just sit down discussing something that's not a good report. And you wonder why you are turning around in circles in your life. One step forward, two steps backward. When you're dwelling on things that are not of good report. What did the Bible tell you? If you are a Christian, is this not what it says? Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise. Is there any praise in this thing? No. Yet, your mind is on it. And you're even adding other people to join you. All of them unhappy trial or an unhappy club. What life do you want to live? Successful and brilliant. Having resources, doing big things. That's what I like. But there are people who are small in their minds. Their world is small. Their world is small. When you have big things to do, and you have a word to take, you can't be discussing nonsense. And if you're a pastor and you still care about some people who don't like you in the congregation, or some people who don't like you among the pastors, some people are against you, you. If it's true that anybody's against you, you should be happy. You should be happy. Because who are you for anybody to be against you? This world is big. And they left everything and became against you. You must be very important. Yeah, you must be very important if anybody's against you. Instead of getting worried, you say, Father, I'm so grateful. I didn't know someone could be against me. Me. Wow, I'm big. Yeah. You know, I remember T.L. Osborne said something that's very, very inspiring. He said, when you see a man who's got an enemy in a powerful position, he says, mark that man. That man's going places. Yeah. You measure a man's strength. You measure a man's value not by his friends. You measure a man's worth by the power of his enemies. The greater you are, the greater your enemies are. You measure your greatness, a man's influence. By the number and power of his enemies. Never forget that. It's not the friends that determine who you are. It's your enemies. And you know, they say, as long as you're successful, your friends will hang around you, right? As long as you're successful, your enemies will have you in focus. They would like to be your friends. So, the same for friends as it is for enemies. So you have enemies. You're supposed to anyway. If you're successful, you should have enemies by now. What did Jesus say? Woe unto you if all men speak well of you. That's what Jesus said. He says you're cursed if all men speak well of you. For so speak they of the false prophets. Yes. Praise God. Okay. Now, let's look at verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's why we call you every once or twice a year, so we can share some thoughts with you, and then you can pattern your life in the way you should go with the examples that we've given to you. Look at what Paul said here. He said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen, he didn't say and seen in Jesus, do. He said and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. That's what he said. So, he's saying, have you observed how, that's what, there's some things that I have to do, and oftentimes I like to call some people to be there because I want them to see what steps were taken on such occasions in the results. Because, you know, it's not everything that is at the on the platform. But there are important things that sometimes you've got to call certain people to be there and see. For example, Jesus did a lot of things in the presence of the crowds, but on certain occasions, he called Peter, James, and John and says, you come. I want to see this. And they were able to report to us what happened on those occasions. Right? Yeah. So you notice, first he said to you, you can manage your mind. You can change your way of thinking. He says, renew your mind. Transform your life by renewing your mind. Then he said to you, there are these things that will measure the character of your thinking. He says, whatsoever things are, this and this and this. And he gave us a beautiful list so we can study this. Now, we don't always have to run to check. You know, like the days of Moses, they had the laws. And he had to read to them. And they had to try and learn these things and use them to guide themselves. But it was hard. The reason it was hard was this. Their minds were not sanctified. And so they couldn't retain the word that God gave to them. And that's different from us today. Our minds have been sanctified. Our spirits have been reborn. And our spirits have been conditioned to receive the word of God. So the word dwells in us. The word lives in us. And we have become one with the word. So the word has mingled with our spirits. Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We become one with the Lord. See? And so, what is the Bible to us? It's a revelation. What does it do to us? How do we relate with the scriptures? Okay. Let me give you an important thought here. St. John's Gospel, the 11th chapter. Don't have to go in there. It's rush moment now. But in St. John's Gospel, chapter 11, the Bible tells us a beautiful story. And Lazarus had died. And Jesus had said that he was going to wake him up. And he went to Bethany. And on getting there, Martha comes out and says, Master, if you had been here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. And a short while later, Mary comes, the sister of Martha, She says exactly the same thing. Master, where have you been? We sent for you. If you had been here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. Something that Jesus said that is extraordinary. My goodness, nobody talked like Jesus. The master said, your brother shall rise again. Now, that's not the big thing. He said, your brother shall rise again. And, Martha said to him, yeah, no, he'll rise again on the last day, the resurrection day, in the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I have meditated on that statement again and again and again and again through the years. What in the world was Jesus saying? Only God could talk like that. He didn't say, I have the power of resurrection. No. He didn't say I have the power of resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection. You know, I'm trying to control myself because I feel like sitting here, you know, just like I've done over these scriptures several times. You know, just sit down and shout a little bit. You know? What is this? Brothers and sisters, who are we dealing with? Who is this man? If they wondered that he walked on water, they hadn't seen anything yet. That was nothing compared to this statement, if it has to be true. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. Not the resurrector. Oh. Who is this man? He says, I am the resurrection. Let's look at the picture again. Here this lady says to the master, if you had been here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. And the Jews had said, oh, this man who opened blind eyes and made the lame walk, couldn't he have made this man, couldn't he have cured him that he shouldn't have died? That's all they thought about. A healing Christ. They knew him as a healer. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died, because he would have been healed. So they know him as a healer. They knew he could heal anybody. But now, it's too late. If you had been here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. And the master says, your brother will rise again. Oh yes, I know. On the last day. The resurrection. On the last day. And he says, I am. That thing you're talking about for the last day, I am. Brothers and sisters, if he had said, I am the resurrector, it would have been powerful enough. Great. Remarkable. But he didn't say, I am the resurrector. I am the resurrection. We have to decode it. What's the man saying? I'm the resurrection. Then he adds something to it that I think they tried not to hear. You know, there's some things that get too big and you don't want to hear. You just act like you didn't hear. And they both acted like they didn't hear him. He said, and the life. So they cut out that one and tried not to listen to him about that. Because, you see, no man would say that. No man. If this were a prophet, he was great. But no man would say this.
If you've been blessed by this message and would like to order for other inspiring messages and resource materials by Pastor Chris, please log on to www.christembassyonlinestore.org.